Link two.
Question, what does that mean for the masking? Okay, we'll try with the mask. Hopefully everybody can hear. Can people hear in the back? Can hear? Okay, good. So thank you very much for your kind words of introduction. I think I haven't physically been here, I guess, since the beginning of COVID. So in the uptown, some of us were actually in person last year as well, but I know that that was true the second half of last year. But more and more people are back, so it's really a pleasure to be here. Definitely signifies that we're making some progress against the pandemic, and to the extent that we can get back to the kind of normalcy in terms of shiurim and interaction, that's something that's very positive. So I'm really happy to be able to participate. So I thought that we would speak this evening about the parsha that we just read, and of course the bigger picture of some of the avos in Bereishis. And beyond that, the third concentric circle, I guess you could say, about the implications of that in general for the concept of the soda. I'm going to have to be on a strict time limit because I have to run from here to go to another share. So I'll try to get right to it. Chazal, of course, tell us that Masa Avos Simen Labanim, that the events that transpired in the lives, if at any point you can't hear, just kind of raise your hand or something. Otherwise, I'll assume everybody can hear despite the mask. The events that transpired in the lives of the Avos were like, guideposts, if you will, for their descendants. We are, of course, their descendants. So this principle, of course, was particularly embraced and particularly expanded by the Ramban in his Perush al Torah. He makes reference to it a few times, which, of course, establishes that Sefer Bereishis is not merely an early or origin history of the world and of the Jewish people, more specifically, Klal Yisrael, or fledgling Klal Yisrael, but much more than that, an ongoing relevant paradigm, model, for religious aspiration and leadership. Sometimes Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar, as Chazal know, because again, the figures that dominate the stories in Bereishis are personalities, whose impact, in terms of their ethical sensitivity, their priorities, their leadership, right, continues to define the Jewish people, from that point on, right till our day, and will continue well into the future. So the parshios that focus on the Avos are really parshios, whose ongoing currency, is beyond any kind of question. In Tefillah every day, we speak about Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. Obviously, then, these personalities are prevalent, they're present, they're impactful in our lives. When we speak of our own, deep yearning, our own doubts, our aspirations, every day in the context of Shemon Esrei, right, we invoke these personalities. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And in a sense, analyzing or studying the stories of Bereishis, any of the stories in Tanakh, but of course it begins with the Avos in Bereishis, is really an odyssey in self-discovery. We're not reading about others, we're reading about our own prehistory, but even more, the aspirations that we should be trying to cultivate. And therefore, these stories demand our intense, even microscopic scrutiny. Each of the Avos encountered very significant challenges in terms of their ability to interact with the surrounding culture in which they found themselves, coping with multiple and often contradictory or conflicting religious and normative demands that required of them that they balance multiple roles as citizens of the world, as leaders of what would become Klal Yisrael, a new religious ideology born of the Tzivui to Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Mimolartecha, right? That was not simply a request or even a command to geographically leave his home, right? But to turn his back on one culture and to cultivate a completely different one. And, of course, each of the Avos was also members of a nuclear and an extended family, in addition to being, you know, leaders, you know, of their communities. And therefore, the decisions that they made, the priorities that they cultivated, all of these should come under our scrutiny. It's an invaluable source for inspiration and for guidance. So what I want to zero in on this evening, the little time that we have, is the episode that concluded the parsha that we just read, and that is the parsha of the Akedah. Of course, the Akedah is the ultimate expression of religious commitment and of devotion. Ati adati kirei Elokim ata v'lo chasachta asbincha asyichidcha. Right, this is Avram Avinu surrendering to the Rabbonu Shel Olam's will, not only surrendering in action, but in terms of his, you know, deep understanding, his, you know, way of thinking. As Chazal tell us, the command, seemingly the imperative, to sacrifice Yitzchak was in conflict with everything that he had understood until that point about the Rabbonu Shel Olam, about how, you know, this new culture of Lech Lecha was going to differ, you know, from his previous life. The ability to follow Tzivui Hashem, notwithstanding, you know, how unfathomable it must have been, of course, is the ultimate expression of trust, of emunah, and of course, both of Avas Hashem, Avraham Ohavi, according to the Ram in his Droshos, really what motivated Avram Avinu in the Akedah was Avas Hashem. And of course, side by side with that is what the Torah tells us was the signature characteristic of this particular commitment. That, of course, is Yiras Hashem. Ati Adati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. But the Akedah is not only, right, the epitome or the climax of Avraham Avinu's, you know, intense, you know, unbreakable commitment to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It also, when we analyze it in a certain way, highlights the legitimate and enhancing diversity of religious role models and underscores the halachic perspective on the complexity of human religious life, because it basically combines two themes. One is this idea of diversity, which I'll explain in a moment, and the other, the concept of unity and uniformity. In the Akedah, Avraham Avinu at the same time was taking a leap of faith, almost a naive, you know, simple act, you know, of belief and of trust, even as, you know, one which reflected his clear loyalties and priorities, even as his investigations and what he was called upon to experience was diverse and complex. The single and singular event of the Akedah was a common stimulus for two of the Avos, for Avraham and for Yitzhak. And it produced, this is my point, both a unified, united, as well as a diverse and divergent responses from the two protagonists, from the father Avraham, and of course from his bincha, yechidcha, asher ahavta, Yitzhak. If we read closely the psukim in the end of Parshas Vayera, right, we note that the Torah uses the expression Vayelchu Shnehem Yachdav, or something close to it, three different times in a space of not that many psukim. In Pasuk Vav, we're told, Vayikach Avram es atzei ha'ola, Vayasem ha'yitzchak v'no, Vayikach biyado es ha'esh v'yatsa ma'acheles, Vayelchu Shnehem Yachdav. And then, only three psukim later in Pasuk Tes, Vayavo el ha'makom asher omar lahu elokim, Vayiven sham Avram es ha'mizbeach, Vayaruch es ha'etzim vayakod es yitzchak v'no, Vayasem ha'so al ha'mizbeach, Nima la'etzim, right? Here too, the Torah emphasizes that Vayomer Avram Elokim Yirelo Hasel Ola Bini Vayelchu Shnehem Yachta. And then in the end of the parsha, when everything is over, Vayashav Avram El Na'arav Vayakumu Vayelchu Yachta El Be'er Shava. The triple Vayelchu Yachta clearly is intended to spotlight that the remarkable faith and devotion of Avram and Yitzchak in this process. This is a process, as we'll elaborate in a minute, in which the two of them bonded, right, as never before. The extraordinary challenge of the Akedah is basically what formed the relationship between Avram and Yitzchak. Even as the experience of each had to have been, and Chazal believed that it was, completely different, completely divergent, different experiences, different responses. Avraham Avinu, of course, was the one who was contacted by the Ribono Shel Olam. It was his initiative, one that was pursued with alacrity. Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, Chazal tell us, Ahava Mekalkeles es Ashura. As devastating and unfathomable a challenge as this was to Avraham Avinu, in the end of the day, right, he proceeded, he responded with enthusiasm. He's the one who is active, he's the one who is challenged, it's his nisayon, formally and officially, at least that's how the Torah presents it, and even Chazal see this either as the, according to most, the ultimate, the tenth of ten nisyonos that establish Avraham Avinu's credentials in a way which is, you know, simply unique, or according to Rabbeinu Yonah, if I have a chance to speak about it at the end, in Masechet Avos, it was the ninth rather than the tenth. But in the end of the day, Avraham Avinu is the focal point of this particular test. Yitzhak, on the other hand, is the object, not the subject. He's the victim, right? He's the one who is going to be ne'akad. At first, according to most views of Chazal, he's unaware. Subsequently, right, he becomes a passive partner in the process. Whether or not he's enthusiastic or not, that seems to be a matter of fierce debate, you know, in Chazal. Chazal put into the mouth of Yitzhak Avinu, Kafseini Yafe Abba, Kafseini Yafe Abba. That Yitzhak asked his father to bind him tightly. But that can be understood in two opposite ways. It's conceivable that both are true, given the complexity of the situation. One, of course, reflects enthusiasm and agreement, and the other, of course, anxiety, you know, lest he run away. He was concerned that he wouldn't be able actually to stand up to this particular challenge. So already, just objectively, looking at, you know, the protagonists and the roles that they play, it's evident that the experience of the Akedah, in some respects, notwithstanding, but then making even more significant the use of the term Vayelchu Shneim Yachdav, was very different. Each Vayelchu Shneim Yachdav represents a different stage in the process and a progression in the bond between Avraham and Yitzchak. The word Yachdav, according to many, as opposed to Yachad, is something that implies not simply something that they were both going through at the same time, or even a joint experience, but a common integrated experience implying an existential bond. They weren't just yachad. It wasn't just happening to both of them at the same time. They were together, right? They were both defined by the experience. And the fact is, and you know, sometimes the things that are hidden, you know, in plain sight are the most powerful things. But when you think about it, the only real interaction between Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak, the son who yearned for his destiny, right? V'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshuveh lo tzedakah, their relationship is primarily formed, at least in the Torah Shebichsav that we have, precisely in the experience of the Akedah, with both its yachdav and its, you know, very divergent, you know, aspect. It's here that the Torah emphasizes what their relationship really is. Vayomer Avram al Arav, Shivu lachem poa machamar. First it's Vani v'hanar. First Yitzhak is just v'hanar. Nelch ad ko. Nishtachavem v'nashuva aleichem. Then Vayikach Avram es atzei ha'olav v'yosem al Yitzhak b'no. All of a sudden, the nar is turned into b'no. And Vayikach es ha'esh v'esamacheles v'yelchu shneim yachta. Vayomer Yitzchak el Avram, and then Yitzchak turns to Avram, who addressed or defined him as Beno in the previous two psukim. And Yitzchak turns to his father and says, El Avram, Aviv, to Avram, his father. We already know he's his father from quite a few sources, including the previous pasuk. But as if to accentuate this relationship, both to highlight how difficult this must be for both father and son, right? What's happening is almost unspeakable. But also to highlight that this is their moment to form by Yelchu Shneim Yachdav, a certain kind of bond. By Yomer, and he says, Avit, right? Further seemingly gratuitous emphasis. So he turns to Avram, his father, and he says, my father. By Yomer, and Avram responds, Hineni Vini, here I am, my son. So obviously, all this father, son, son, father is the Torah's way of accentuating this dialectic. We already know the relationships. In the history of their relationships, though, presented in the Torah, until now and subsequent, this is the single formative binding interaction, bonding experience that they have. And therefore, the Avi, Bini, Aviv, Bino is a powerful drumbeat almost that highlights what it is that's taking place. The Medrash, as I mentioned before, accentuates both the common and the divergent features. I already mentioned Kafzeni Yafa Abba. But they're also emphasized, as do some of the Mefarshim, particularly the Ibn Ezra and others, there are differences in role, as mentioned before, in age, right, in experience, in previous history and context. After all, Avraham Avinu, you know, has already had to experience the inexplicable and has already had to make sacrifices, you know, that tested, you know, his primary loyalty. According to Chazal, Ur Kastim, right, reflects an act of Kiddush Hashem. And as I mentioned before, Lech Lecha, while it seems like, you know, a small geographic request, is really nothing more than a revolution. It's nothing less, rather, than a revolution. Asking somebody to turn his back on his cultural matrix. While Yitzchak Avinu, his previous life is mostly a sheltered one. Right? He's the first person born into a Jewish home. While Avraham Avinu has to undertake a theological odyssey to discover monotheism or rediscover monotheism, and has to take initiative, v'nefesh asher asa v'charam, a mission of Elokei Haaretz, Yitzchak Avinu has the luxury of a kind of sheltered initial childhood in which the formative influence of his life is his father and his mother, right, those two, you know, enthusiastic, exuberant partners in Vanefesh Asher Asa Becharon, in the enterprise of creating a new religion and a new nation. So Yitzchak Avinu is experienced as the Ola Tamima, someone who is destined never to leave Eretz Yisrael, is altogether different than that of Avram Avinu, the son of Terah, the person who has to be a self-made man, and so on. And for that reason, it's not surprising that the reactions of Avraham and Yitzchak are as divergent as they are as well. Even though, again, that's the fact, Vayashav Avraham el Na'arav, Vayakumu, Vayelchu, Yachda. But when you think about it, when you look at the Psukim, and again, Chazal, it's clear that the impact and the aftermath of the Akedah could not be more different for Avram and for Yitzchak. For Avram Avinu, the very next psukim are Vayhi acharei advarim ha'ela, Vayugad la'Avram le'mar, Hine yolda milka gamhi banim l'nachar achicha, Es utz b'choro, es buz achiv, Es kmuel avi Aram. Basically, in the aftermath of the Akedah, which begins with Vayhi achar advarim ha'ela, Avram Avinu goes on to the next challenge, the next episode of his extremely, you know, multifaceted, you know, busy, diverse life. So he goes from one Vayhi achar advar ma'ela to another Vayhi achrei advar ma'ela. This one, very prosaic, having to do with, you know, other branches of his family. You know, obviously nothing that can compare to the drama of the previous Vayhi Achar Advar Ma'ela, the Akedah. But such is the life, as we'll discuss more fully in a moment, of Avram Avinu. It's one chapter after another, and couldn't be more diverse, couldn't be more, you know, far-ranging. This is a significant episode in Avram Avinu's life. Of course, Atiyadati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, one of ten, maybe the final of the ten of his nisyonos. And at the same time, right, it doesn't define who he is. He's Avram Avinu before the Akedah, and he's Avram Avinu after the Akedah, simply on to the next episode and chapter. But Yitzchak Avinu, in sharp contrast, appears to have been shaped and formed, defined by the experience of the Akedah. As, again, some of the Parshanim note, Yitzchak, after the Akedah, completely disappears from the story that the Torah tells. We read more about Avram Avinu and other things. Yitzchak Avinu has gone missing. There's no evidence that he attends the funeral of his beloved mother. Chazal say that the relationship between Yitzchak and Sarah was a particularly, you know, special one, understandable by the history, you know, of how he was born and everything else. You know about Ohel of Rivka and Sarah, all of that, and Chazal highlights. And yet, according to some of the Mefarshim, certainly based on the Pshat, you know, we know all about Avram Avinu's trials and tribulations in attaining the Maras HaMachpelah and the Bechi that he undergoes in the mourning of Sarah, but nothing about Yitzchak. Yitzchak is missing from history in the aftermath of the Akedah. And Chazal say because he lingered in the place of the Akedah for several years, only returning 3 years later, probably, Nibola Be'er Lachai Ro'i, heroically and dramatically, according to Chazal, by emotionally self-sacrificing in offering Hagar to Avram Avinu. Here he was, the loyal son of Sarah, right? And for the sake of his father's happiness or future or both, right? He returns to history after not being heard of, or at least not being spoken of, in the aftermath of the Akedah, right? Only to do the ultimate act of Gevura, which of course is the Midah of Yitzchak, right? That which takes, you know, discipline and strength of character, you know, to provide, even sacrificing his own emotional, perhaps, well-being, to provide for his father. And of course, the response of Rivka, you know, his, at the time, future wife, very dramatic way that she, you know, first reacts when she encounters the persona of Yitzchak. The subsequent history of Yitzchak, especially the way that he relates to the spiritual potential of both Esav and Yaakov, I'm not going to go into details of that at the moment. All of this reflect a persona dramatis, a dramatic, charismatic personality who is defined by the ultimate religious drama, the Akedah. In Jewish thinking, you know, Yom Kippur is the time of Yitzchak. It's an Akedah-type, you know, Yom Tov. The Tefillah reflects that on Yom Kippur as well. Yitzchak, in every respect, is the Ola Tamima, and his status as a Korban, according to various views of Chazal, is only enhanced by the experience of the Akedah. Indeed, his later blindness is symbolic of this as well. Chazal say that the, you know, ashes, you know, in the Akedah were ultimately responsible, you know, for his difficulty in sight. But of course, we understand that that's not only about physical sight. Also, perhaps it shapes the way that he views the world, views his children. Everything is colored by the experience of the Akedah. The Medrash could question, when it comes to Avraham Avinu, which was the pivotal, like, experience of his life. It's a very fascinating Medrash, where the Medrash notes, right, that the, you know, words Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, Le'artecha, Mimolartecha, Lech Lecha, right, El Har HaMoriah, and of course the cadences in both cases are practically identical, right? El Artecha, Molartecha, Mibeis Avicha, El Ha'aretz Asher Areka. They have similar cadences when it comes, you know, to the sacrifice of Yitzchak Har Moriah in the context of the Akedah. And therefore the Medrash can raise the question, like, which Lech Lecha was more pivotal in the life, you know, of Avraham Avinu? A very strange question. One would have, you know, expected that there would be not much of a contest. The Akedah, of course, far more dramatic, highlights at minimum that the Lech Lecha experience, the original, is, as I say, far more difficult than most people perceive. But at the end of the day, you know, we could ask about Avraham Avinu, you know, which was his defining, you know, moment. Was it the moments that are not even recorded explicitly in the Torah? His Odyssey of Faith? Ur Kasdim, the Kivshan Ha'esh? The first Lech Lecha? The second Lech Lecha? You know, the Emin Ba'Shem Ba'yachshaveh Tzedakah? There are many possibilities, candidates for the key moment. There probably wasn't a key moment in Avraham Avinu's life. It was a life in which there was a transition, you know, from challenge to challenge to challenge to challenge, etc. If you ask what was the pivotal moment of Yitzchak Avinu's life, it seems clear in every respect that the Akedah is what shaped his personality, what defined his legacy of Gevura. Indeed, it even established, as we said before, his special bond, Avi Bini, with his father, with Avraham Avinu. In the case of Avraham Avinu, the Akedah merely reflected or illuminated his true character and his wide-ranging career. In the case of Yitzchak, it was really transformative. It created, or at least brought down, a certain aspect of his personality that didn't previously exist. Ati adati kirei lo kimata velo chasachta asbincha. Parshanim were, of course, very disturbed by the obvious difficulty. First of all, Avraham Avinu already had quite a track record. So what's the ati adati, now I know, ki yirei Elokim ata. Moreover, the Ribbono Shel Olam is omniscient, right? What's the point or the objective behind an apparently superfluous test of Avraham Avinu's Yirat Shamayim? Surely the omniscient creator already knows that he has the capacity to pass the test. And who else beyond the Ribbono Shel Olam really needs to be impressed? But on further reflection, the Akedah was critical in the life of Avraham Avinu, again, not necessarily transformative, but reflective, in a way that brought clarity and illumination to Avraham Avinu himself, and especially to, you know, others who may have had difficulty comprehending some of the choices that he made in his complex life. Avraham Avinu's life was a life filled with encounters and decisions that, because they were complex, might have seemed questionable or suspect to others. After all, Avraham Avinu was the Amud HaChesed. That's what he's known for. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Yud, codifies the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos that says that, you know, if a Jew behaves in a manner which reflects insensitivity or lack of empathy towards another, you have to really check his pedigree to see if he's really a Ben Avraham Avinu. Typically, the Rambam doesn't codify Divrei Agada. It's a Gemara in Yevamos, but it's interesting that the Rambam codified this one. Avraham Avinu was the Amud HaChesed. That's part of who he was. And yet, he's a person who initially advocates for a stone, a culture that is completely antithetical to the ideology of Chesed. Showing Chesed to an anti-Chesed ideology, right, is that consistent or hypocritical? And who rescues Sodom in war, if not Avraham Avinu? The same Avraham Avinu who parts company with his own kin, right, Lot, seemingly, but not really, over a financial decision or dispute. Obviously, a bigger picture proves that it was an ideological dispute. But not every outsider is fully privy or sensitive to all of that. Avraham Avinu goes to war to save Lot despite Vehu Yoshev Bestom. That's where he lives. That's where he is going to return. Is all this because of or despite an allegiance to the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Chesed? Parshas Vayera begins with Avraham Avinu making a seemingly shocking decision. Hachnosas Orchim, right, against Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina, the encounter with the Ribbono Shel Olam and transcendence, clearly seems to be the proper priority. So is Avraham Avinu's love of people at the expense of his loyalty to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Or, and of course this is the right answer, is this an internal decision motivated by Hashra'as HaShechina? Meaning Avraham Avinu understood the Ritzon Hashem and understood that the ultimate Kabbalas Pnei HaShechina is to practice Hachnasas Orchem. But it's hard to know that. It's hard to know what Avraham Avinu's decisions were based on. Avraham Avinu's ambivalent response to the behavior of his son Yishmael. Vayera be'inav, right? Meaning what? He was upset that Yishmael was acting improperly, or he was upset that Sarah was upset that Yishmael was acting improperly, or both. The intentional ambiguity, again, leaves us wondering whether the right priorities are being applied. Analyzing Lot's apparently parallel Hachnasas Orchem in the Parsha, Parshas Vayera, so again, leaves us wondering, obviously, Lot's priorities are misplaced. He has the grotesque, you know, suggestion to offer his daughters in order to safeguard his guests? Did he learn that in the house of Avraham Avinu? What's really the difference between the commitment of Avraham Avinu and of Lot? It's only if you read the psukim, again, very carefully, under a microscope, with the, you know, help of Chazal and the Mefarshim, that the order of feet washing and the withdrawal of Avodah Zarah and the language, you know, does he treat his malachim like anashim or anashim like malachim? It's only then, in very subtle ways, that the stark difference between Avraham Avinu's Haknasas Arachim and Lot's really emerge. So that, in other words, numerous decisions, numerous policies in the complex life of Avraham Avinu could be questioned by outsiders, those who are unfamiliar with his motivation, and those who didn't really fully appreciate his character. The Akedah for Avraham Avinu reflects and illuminates who he always was. It not only resolves any doubts, any self-doubt Avraham Avinu may have had about his decision, but even more important, it objectively demonstrates who he is, his truly ambitious, expanded perspective on Yiras Shamayim, notwithstanding, and then actually even more precisely as expressed in his wide-ranging, multifaceted career. Ati adati ki rei Elokim ata v'lo chasachta bimcha is a way of saying, in light of the Akedah, we can appreciate even more fully all of the complex decisions that Avraham Avinu makes. Despite and because of the differences between Avraham and Yitzchak in the response to the Akedah, but even more because of the crucial unity that bound the two of them, Yachdav, Avraham and Yitzchak emerge almost as ideal, vital paradigms. The combination of Chesed shel Avraham and the Gevura of Yitzchak, the Atiyadati consequence of the Akedah for Avraham, and the shaping or reshaping of Gevura in Yitzchak is only the only recipe that can ultimately produce the Tiferes of Yaakov Avinu, who of course bears the name Yisrael, precisely because Kisarisa Imhu Elokim V'Imhu Anashim Batuchal. Because he, after first following in his original career, this is a topic in its own right, the path of Yitzchak, then being given the charge by the Ribbono Shel Olam when he leaves Eretz Yisrael, right, to be inspired by the model of his grandfather of Avraham, and then at the end of his life to come back to Pachad Yitzchak, only that can produce Tiferes Yisrael Yaakov. Chazal tell us that, as I noted earlier, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Each of the Avos represents an indispensable motif in Jewish life. On the other hand, the Chasima Sabracha, Magen Avraham, accentuates Avraham. That's because his particular persona is even more paradigmatic. The fact that he did have such wide-ranging experiences, complex decisions, and at the same time was driven so clearly by the integrity of Avraham Ohavi and Ati Adati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata establishes his priority. He was the Av Hamon Goyim, the initiator of a new approach to life, Nefesh Asher Aso B'Charan. Every generation inevitably encounters challenges and opportunities in a world that is constantly, culturally, and technologically in flux. It's always the combination of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the clarity of the Akedah, and the impact of the Akedah, which allows us to move forward, to progress, and to advance. In every generation, we can recognize the paradigms of Avraham, of Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And of course, I don't mean to leave out the other, you know, great Chachmei HaMesorah of Chumash, of Nach, of the Mishnah, of the Gemara, of Jewish history. All of their contributions have defined Klal Yisrael and have created a kind of, you know, handbook, Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, that inspires us as we encounter our own challenges to move forward with integrity. And these people can be identified in every generation as the Chachmei HaMasorah. There are times when we need to be led by Avram-type figures, and there are situations which call for the Mesiras Nefesh and the Gevura of a Yitzchak, or the integration and the Teferis of a Yaakov. Either way, Vayelchu Shneim Yachtav, despite the differences, because the differences, either way, because of the common commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, in the end, that's what inspires and that's what defines us. But let me add one final element to this Vayelchu Shneim Yachtav concept. And that is the concept of Mesorah itself. The fact is that one of the mysteries and one of the inspiring and unique facets of Torah life is precisely this concept of unity and diversity. Of kulam nitnu meroa echad, everything coming from one source, whether it's Avraham Avinu originally, or if we talk about the Torah from the shepherd Moshe Rabbeinu, or of course the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the ultimate Yichud Hashem himself, and at the same time, the wide range, whether it's Ein Levein LaDivra LeKim Chayim, or Shivim Panim LaTorah, that we experience every day in every Beit Midrash, in every, you know, class in Chumash, Halacha, etc. And that too comes from the very beginning, and especially from the initial paradigm of Avraham and Yitzchak. Again, not next week's parsha, but the one after, Toldos, begins, Ela Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Olid es Yitzchak. Obviously a very challenging psukim, much in the same way that the psukim and the Akedah are challenging, as we just noted. So, B'ni, Avi, Avi, B'ni. Obviously, if Yitzchak was the son of Avram, then Avram, holy this Yitzchak. But what the Torah is telling us is exactly this issue. And that is, Yitzchak very much perceived himself as the son of Avram. And really was a product of Avram. Even though objectively, as detached observers, we can discern that the circumstances were very different, as we noted, and that their personalities seemed to be different. Certainly justifying Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Nonetheless, Eila Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Holiness Yitzchak. Both of these elements are true, and from the very beginning of our history, that defines the concept of Mesorah. For Yitzchak Avinu, he perceived himself as a continuity, as the mirror image of his father. Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram olid es Yitzchak. Rashi, some girsos anyway, there are different editions of Rashi, but one at least, emphasizes that Yitzchak was the son of Avraham, not Avram. In a way, he only knew his father as a ben zukunim later in life. And I would add, his primary bonding with his father was the experience of the Akedah, which is so pivotal to each one. The Avram Avinu pre-Akedah, who had to contend, you know, with Terach and Lech Lecha and Lot and Yishmael and so on and so forth. I'm sure he heard the stories, but he didn't experience that Avram Avinu. But it didn't matter. In the world of Yitzchak, this is the story of the Eros, the Avimelech, Avram perceived himself simply as his father's son. And at the end of the day, that's what Mesorah really is all about. It's about Talmidim, or Talmidos, enjoying the benefits of mentoring, being inspired, you know, by the previous generation, their live teachers, and of course the role models that preceded, you know, all of us in history, and perceiving ourselves as their children, as walking in their paths, Maisa Avos, Simen Labanim. And at the same time, being able to contend with challenges based on the unique circumstances in which we live, based on those guidelines, normative guidelines, inspired by the past, but also taking responsibility for the present and for the future. Yitzchak was very different than Avram, but his self-image began with being Eilat Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holiness Yitzchak. And therefore that diversity was enriching and enhancing, not polarizing and undermining. And Kafi Darka Shel Torah. I'm going to have to finish in 1 minute, I'm already a little late. That's what Torah really is all about. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us that Kulam Biroa Echad Nitna, and yet there's Chiddush. There are always new ideas, but not revolutionary ideas, but innovative, evolutionary ideas, applications, nuances that progress in the system of Torah. The Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah that Rabbi Eliezer used to say that Me'olam lo amarti davar shelo shamati mi pirak. Rabbi Eliezer said that everything I say I really got from my teachers and my rabbi. But if you look at the Medrash, and especially in Avos Rav Nasan, right, we have, you know, very interesting stories about how innovative a halachic thinker Rabbi Eliezer was, and especially how his own rabbeim, you know, were particularly proud and observed, right, his koach hachiddush. In the world of Torah and halacha and Masorah, this is par for the course. It's not a contradiction. Rabbi Eliezer was very respectful of and was a makabel. He perceived himself, you know, in the image of his teachers. And he opened himself up to their influence. And of course, he had his own personality and his own strengths and his own unique perspective. And as a result, naturally, he was innovative and he initiated. And all that was considered to be the proper continuity rather than a challenge and a departure from his rabbi. That's what Chazal mean when they say, Kol Mashit Talmud Vasik Asid L'Chadesh, whatever a veteran Talmud Chacham is going to offer as a novel idea, Kvar Nemar L'Moshe Misina. It was already, you know, can be traced back to Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu had a lock on every, you know, idea. It means that there is a certain process and there's a certain continuity, and that the self-image of every generation from the previous generation, that sense of reverence and respect, you know, being part of the chain of the Masorah, is a very powerful mechanism which ultimately produces the right kind of continuity and the right type of innovation or initiative as well. So this week in our yeshiva, on Sunday, this coming Sunday, we are celebrating another Chag HaSmicha. And really the whole idea of Chag HaSmicha, Smicha, and Smicha is just an example. It's true for all dimensions of the Limud HaTorah, is really this exact idea. It's the idea of the continuity of generations, which is an investment in the progression and the, with a lot of integrity, the continuity of Torah itself. And that's really a tremendous celebration. It's important to know that the history of that idea goes back to the very first Jews, to the Avos, to Avram and to Yitzchak. Through the experience of the Akedah, both the diversity and the unity became the paradigm by Yelchu Shneim Yachdav, not only of their own individual contributions, their collective contributions, but this paradigm of Mesorah, which sustains us to this very day. So I want to wish you all success in the shiurim that you're going to, and the learning, and your own development as Ovdos Hashem, and that it should be in the spirit of this concept of Mesorah that really, animated the origins of the Jewish people. Thank you very much.